Hey, it's Casey Cheshire from EO Boston. It's an honor for my team at Ringmaster to partner with EO Atlanta to produce this great podcast. If you're interested in an experience share around what it takes to launch a podcast, how to be a better host, or a great guest, shoot me an email at casey@ringmaster.com. And now back to the show.
Entrepreneurship is hard, so let's fix that and dive into our heroes' journeys. This is Taking Flight, an entrepreneur's journey, and I'm Sarah Torville. Join me as we delve deep into the passions, expertise, and experiences of those already in flight. This show is sponsored by EO Atlanta. Hello, and welcome to our listeners and to our viewers to EO Atlanta Taking Flight podcast. Oh my God, I have missed you all. I'm not sure whether you feel the same, but time has gone by. There's been so much travel happening with me, which I've really enjoyed. But I'm glad to be back in the podcast seat. And I have an amazing guest who's joining me today. She is an expert in functional medicine, and she opened the nation's first medicine and movement practice in 2019 and has since expanded to 3 locations, over 35 employees, and around 7,000 patients, which is incredible. And I'm one of those patients. Let me just tell you that. Outside of her practice, she is a wife and a mom to precious 2- and 3-year-old daughters. We'll get their names later if she wants to share. Host of the Little Buy podcast and founder and CEO of Stat Wellness. And for anyone who's questioning what Stat stands for, which I was, it's Strength to Achieve Total Wellness. Please welcome Kristen Oja. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be talking on the EO Atlanta podcast because EO means so much. And we'll get into that, I'm sure, in this episode. Yes. But I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, that's wonderful. I've been really looking forward to having you on the show, especially since I became a patient and got to experience firsthand, to some extent, how you help patients and how you help solve some of the things they're struggling with. So I feel I'm even more curious to know how you set this amazing company up. So. But I want to dig right in, Kristen, if you're okay with that, and ask you, what did you get right when you took your first flight into your entrepreneurial journey?
I always love this question because I think as an entrepreneur, we often think about the things we would have done differently. You know, when I first come, I'm like, oh, what would I have done differently? But I think there are some things I would do again and again and again. And I kind of came up with 3 things that I feel like we really did right as an organization. Right. And I think the first thing is I chose something I really loved and was passionate about. And I really find when you love something, when you're passionate about it, it really fuels change and it doesn't feel like work, right? So I'm still to this day so passionate about helping people become the best version of themselves, and I still work with patients. So that was 1. And I think this is important for entrepreneurs because I've met a lot of entrepreneurs that maybe stumbled into their industry and they really don't like the field they're in. And I imagine that's incredibly hard to work as hard as we work as entrepreneurs and not love what you do.
I agree.
2 is we took very, very minimal funding and I didn't have any partners. And this, I think, was something we did really right. And I was in a very fortunate position that my husband, we were able to live off 1 salary. So my husband really supported me for the first 2 years. I paid myself nothing. We actually ended up selling our house. We lived on my sister's floor. We lived a very simple life. And any profit or any money that came in, we used to reinvest in people. Right. And so at the beginning, it was me and 1 other employee, which I'm sure we'll talk about, Sarah Rose, because she's a very key component to what we do here at Stat Wellness. Right. But I think that was something for us that worked really, really well, is not taking on too much funding, not owing too many people money, and then not having a report to several different partners or a board. And it just worked really well for us. And the 3rd thing that I know is a little bit industry specific, but is we focused every decision we made when we opened up on putting the patient first and the patient experience. And this was through everything, transparency of pricing. If you go to our website, we're very honest and transparent with our pricing. We don't want confusion around how much your visits are going to cost. Excellent customer service. We really spent time training our front and hiring the right person and having consistency in that role. Yeah. And, you know, I think we viewed our patient as our growth strategy. So we didn't spend any money on marketing. we put all of our money into the patient experience, and it's worked so well for us. And until this year, we've never done marketing. We've never paid for ads. We've never done any SEO work. Like, our goal was, let's give a patient a great experience.
Yeah.
Then they go to dinner with someone. They tell five people, and then those five people call and make an appointment. So I would say those are my three things. Doing something I love, taking on very minimal funding, and focusing on the patient experience to grow the business.
Yeah. 100%. And I love how you numbered it like that. And it's great to see that there are several things which made such a difference. And I have to completely concur with you about the passion thing, because I think you're right. It doesn't feel like working. If you genuinely love what you do and you're still smiling, you've been doing this for several years, you still get up every day. And even though there are challenges, you still love what you do. And that's why I think the only reason what keeps you going during the hard times. So that is extremely important. And again, I have been a patient. I am a patient of yours. And I would say that you've done, if I can just say that this might not be part of the first things, but you did talk about making sure that the people who you're serving, your patients, that they come across well in light. And I just remember walking into your facility in Roswell, and you do feel, first of all, it feels like you're walking into a beautiful West Elm. But again, the people on the front desk are, there's no surliness. It's all very kind of friendly. They know your first name. It's like, and that makes a difference. We want to be treated like that. We don't want to be treated as if we're just a number.
And that, like, even for us is a tough business decision, because you could pay, a low hourly rate for someone to sit at the front desk and greet people.
Yeah.
But we want it to be a career for people. So all of our patient care specialists are on salary. They get benefits. They get paid time off. And we really want them to feel valued, because to us, I talk about there's no hierarchy. One of our core values, ego is the enemy.
Right.
And nobody within Stat Wellness is above any other position.
Right.
And I think that's also critical.
Yeah. Okay. Ego is the enemy. That needs to be written down, everybody. Ego is the enemy. Agree with that too. It's a good hashtag as well. So you mentioned, I think you said Sarah Rose is the lady. So this is my next question. Who were your co-pilots on this journey? Sounds like Sarah Rose has been quite a co-pilot.
For sure. I've had several, and I'm not going to name every single person because we'd be here a long time. It really takes a village, I really believe. But first I had to shout out my parents, because they didn't even ask any questions, and they gave me a check for $50,000 when we went to Open Doors. And at the time, $50,000, I mean, that helped furnish our space. Like it was very critical to our success. So, and they didn't ask, like, where's your projections? When am I going to get the money back? Like there was no follow-up questions.
Yeah.
They were just like, here's $50,000. If we get our money back, awesome, but we believe in you.
Yeah.
And that felt really good to feel like my parents believe in what I'm doing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, I've already mentioned, but my husband, like, I have to say, he was not excited when we decided to open Stat at the beginning. Because we were, what do they call them? Dinkles, double income, no kids at the time.
Yeah.
We were traveling internationally 2-3 times a year. We built this new craftsman style house. We're like living this, young person's dream life, right? And then I say, hey, by the way, I'm going to not pay myself for 2 years. We're going to sell our house. We're going to live on my sister's floor. Now, when I say this, it sounds so crazy, right? Like, it sounds so crazy, but we did it. We did all of those things. And I, at the beginning, thought he was constantly just like popping my bubble. I always say, like, my balloon.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I'd be so excited, he'd just like come in and ask me a million questions.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, no, you were my number one investor. So huge co-pilot. And then Sarah Rose and actually my sister, Caitlin, are my other co-pilots. They have been working with Stat since the day we opened, since before we opened. So Sarah Rose was my first employee and first person I put on salary. And this goes back to my husband's questions. He goes, Kristen, how are you going to pay? Like, you just signed a lease for $8,000 a month. Where are you going to get that money? And I was like, I'll figure it out. And then I put her on salary, and he was like, how are you going to pay her salary? Like, you don't even have any patients yet. Like, you haven't even shown me projections, right? Like, these are normal things you should ask as a business owner. And all I tell him, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, is it's in my heart. Like, I know it's going to work out. I've got the passion. Just trust me. You know what every spouse
has to
hear. I say
that all the time to my husband. Yeah. Just trust me. You got this.
And it was probably the last thing.
Yeah.
But when someone doesn't feel it or maybe know, like, that's a very, like, I look back and I'm just like, wow, like, that was that was a lot on cam. But Sarah Rose is still with me today, and she's just really grown into her role as a director of operations. And I just trust her immensely. And it's very nice when you have people on your team that think about your business as if it were their business, right? Yeah. Like she pays attention when our team is spending too much money and she says something or, you know, Kristen, I feel like so-and-so is taking advantage of this policy. Yeah. I think we need to say something. And, you know, it's kind of like that balance to me because I just always see like silver lining in everything. And so she is a huge reason for our growth. And then my sister, she started here teaching fitness classes and then has become our director of movement. Right. And she's a physical therapist within our organization. And it's the same thing I've named in all of these people. It's the trust. It's the loyalty. Yeah. It's the belief in the mission and the fact that we're just all rowing in the same direction.
Yeah.
And you can't do it without those wonderful co-pilots.
No, and you. I love the fact that you have several of them around you all the time, it sounds like. I would love to go to work with my sister. I think that would be, I don't have a sister, but if I had one, I think that would be amazing to have family around you as well when you're working. So,
well, and I am sure you're going to get, like, I wonder if we'll get feedback because it's really interesting, even when I'm in EO or I'm talking to other entrepreneurs, and a lot of people's advice is never work with family. Like, I've heard that over and over and over again. For me, it's been the best decision I've ever made. And I think it's because we trust each other. We respect each other. And I'm not saying that when other people have issues go on that they don't have those things, but it just works so well for me. Yeah. And I just have been so happy with it.
Yeah, that's excellent. And the fact that she's, you know, she does a role which fits really well into Stat Wellness. I mean, you know, you're not, you know, it sounds like it fully complements. Because I remember looking at all the things that you do and then seeing it's not just about, you know, getting your blood work and giving you, you know, any kind of compound, you know, medicine, things like that. It's like, actually, you now need to be moving and getting fitter. And so it complements so much what you do. You haven't forced that fit for your sister to work with you, sounds like.
Yeah. No, no, it's been perfect.
Yeah, which is great. So so tell me about maybe a challenge that you have had to work on recently that, you know, how has that been? What has the outcome been? Maybe some advice you can give to people who are listening to the podcast.
So for me, we're a very interesting, anybody that's in a service-based industry understands this, that you basically are billing for time, right? There's an exchange where you meet with someone, you make money, you don't meet with someone, you travel, you go on vacation. So it's not a software company, although we do have a membership side of our business that helps with that recurrent revenue. But the reason I bring that up, being a service-based industry, is this year was the first time ever we've lost one of our functional medicine providers. Right. And I just remember feeling this like, wow, this has never happened in 5 years. Like, we have such high retention. We don't have employee turnover. And in my mind, I felt like, well, how are we going to recover from this? Like, you know, this person has 500 patients under them. You build rapport. All of this. And I just was so proud of our team through this. I think there were several things that we did really well. We took a moment to develop a strategy. So we as a team met and we said, okay, who's going to communicate with these patients? Who's going to be responsible for recruiting and onboarding? What is the training going to look like? And so we really sat down as a team and we had a strategy around it. Yeah. And we did not skip a beat, which I feel like is, to me, a huge thing when you're in a business that is based on people.
Yeah.
To not skip a beat was a huge win for us. And I think it really shows that we've built a very strong foundation and we have a training manual now. We have an 8-week residency, which takes a lot of work to build and a lot of time. Yeah. But I think the challenge is at the beginning when you lose that first person is, can you recover from that? Is it going to impact your business? And then if the answer is no, our team was able to overcome that challenge. I think it's a moment to sit back and be like, we've worked really hard to build the foundations. And I think that has been one, that was one of the things I thought was going to be a huge challenge and actually ended up not being because of the work we've put in.
That's great. So did you all, and then you obviously within that process, you had a way to communicate to the patients. And I'm sure, and again, and I understand patients do build relationships, you know, with their doctor or the therapist and everything. But at the end of the day, they bought into more than just that person, haven't they?
Well, and what's kind of crazy is that I probably took on a little bit more than I could have chewed at the time. But I wanted to personally email every single patient because it was our first time we've ever had this happen. And so I just remember how long, I mean, hours and hours, I was just like customizing these personalized emails to each one of these patients. And the feedback I got just was so exactly what you said is like, yes, they love their provider, but they also are very much like, you've created an awesome model, And like, I can't wait to see who I see next fit stat. I know it's going to be another great fit. And, you know, let me know when the next availability is.
Yeah.
Like, did not skip a beat. And I was like, this is what I wanted. I did not want a business based on me. I think this is one of the really tough things when the owner of a business is an intricate part of the business. So we hear a lot of people say in the entrepreneur world, like, are you working on the business or in the business?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because I see patients full time, I'm very deeply in the business. And so to have that, you know, see this, that no, like we're a brand.
Exactly. You know,
it's not just one person, including myself.
It's a brand. Yeah. And you are, they are buying into the brand, whether they know it or not, they're already part of that. So that's really good. I'm glad that worked out really well. And personal messages like that, it just shows the value, and especially from the owner, them hearing directly from the owner is definitely the way to do it. So kudos
I laugh because I was like, maybe I could have done the same thing by like BCCing all of them and making it a little bit more vague.
It wouldn't have felt the same.
Yeah, I know. But man, I'm like,
you're probably exhausted afterwards. So tell me, is there a favorite book you have right now? I mean, this the number of people would say to me, I love it when you guys share the great books and everyone's writing it down. And I do the same. I'm always trying to get really good advice on what's the next good book to read. So is there anything which particularly helped you maybe with that problem or just something in general you're reading?
So I read a lot more functional medicine books. So a lot of mine are not as much entrepreneurial driven, but one of the ones that I have loved right now, there's a few in the functional medicine space, but many of the listeners may have read this, but Outlive by Peter Attia. He is a physician in the longevity space, and I just really love how simple he puts a lot of these principles that we talk about in functional medicine. So book-wise, I do read more in the functional medicine space. Yeah. So that would be my book. And then we went on vacation and I told myself and my fellow entrepreneurs, I'm sure you're very similar, that I'm going to read my first fictional fun book that I've done in like 6 years.
Yeah.
And that was so fun. Like I just like sat there. I love mysteries.
It was the
Widow of Hill or the Girl from Widow Hill.
Okay.
I'll have to get you the exact one if you want to put it in the show notes, but it was on Reese Witherspoon's book club list.
Yeah.
And there was a last minute decision at the airport. I was like, you know what? I'm going to actually not do something that's making me a better leader, founder, or functional medicine provider.
Yeah.
And
I'm just going to relax my brain and enjoy a story.
And why is that so hard for us entrepreneurs? Like why everything? Always. I feel like we get very stuck in this cycle of like, we want to do everything that makes us better.
Yeah. Always. I know.
And so that was a really big mindset shift. And I came back and I was like, I'm going to do this again. And I have not done it again. So this is like a reminder for myself of how nice that was.
That's great. And especially when you have young children, I think I went for years not reading fictional books because it was work, children. If I wasn't reading about work, I was reading about raising children. I wasn't reading about, you know, there was just always a learning, like you say, a learning curve on everything. So I get it. I'm glad you had some time with a fictional book. So that sounds wonderful. So what excites you, Kristen, about the future? Well, like, what does your future of flight look like?
I also love this question. I am really excited that we are in a position, again, we still have not taken on funding, but we're in a position where we're looking at our fourth location. And this fourth one, we're looking out of state, which feels like a really big, as we'll say, next flight, because all of our three locations right now are driving distance from my house.
Right.
Our Peachtree City feels far because it can be an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, this next one we're looking at is a airplane flight away.
Right.
And that feels like a really big next step for us. But I think what is so exciting is, you know, we weren't a franchise when we opened. Like I didn't get a manual on how to do stat wellness. I had to make every single decision along the way. How long are patient appointments? What do we charge? What do our paperwork look like? What does our process look like? What is our procedure? What is our employee benefits? Yeah. You know, every single decision. I had to figure out who the vendors are. Who are we going to work with? How do we negotiate rates? You know, you think about this.
Yeah.
And you don't take time, or I don't take time to be like, wow, look at how many processes and policies and procedures we've put in place over the past 5 years. And where we are now compared to when we first opened doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm just I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the systems we've put in place. I'm excited about the fact that we figured it out.
Yeah.
There's always more we can figure out. There's always things we can do better. I believe in that with our personal health. I also believe in that with the business. But I'm like, now it's time to fly. It's time to trust a team to run a SAT. It's handing off a manual. And it's like, hey, here's your training manual. Here's your dialogue. So I'm really excited. And we're looking at the Nashville market and the and Washington, D.C. are kind of the two spaces. So we're looking at the first one being in off the East Coast. And then we want to start going to Colorado, Arizona, and eventually make our way over to the West Coast.
That's very exciting. So is it going to be a franchise or not?
So I went through the whole exercise. We like, I didn't build a whole FDD, but we hired a franchise consultant and we went through the whole exercise. We built out what it would look like. And the problem right now for us is it's so personalized that it is not, I'm still so involved in the training. So like, for example, a functional medicine person has to go through an 8-week residency. Right. We talk with them on the phone every single week and review their patients to make sure they feel supported. And I was thinking, I can't imagine handing that off and being like, okay, we're going to make 8% royalties and like, I'll check in on you quarterly. So we decided right now it doesn't make sense. And what we're looking at doing is maybe the owner operator type model, like a Chick-fil-A type model. So somebody gets profit sharing or equity of a location and they feel some sense of ownership of that, but still keeping it corporate owned.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, very interesting, I'm sure, to go through that due diligence of what it takes to create a franchise. And maybe that's something you get to in a couple of years' time, knowing what you're leaning towards and where you've got to pull back. And how do you keep it personalized, but pull back? I'm sure you'll wrestle through those things.
Well, it's very hard. You have to kind of make a decision when you're looking at growing a company, especially in something like healthcare and functional medicine. Because it's not one of our benefits and one of the ways we feel like we're transforming healthcare is there's not a one-size-fits-all protocol. And when you look at growth and you look at not being there to train and orient for a year these people, right? It's like you have to standardize some of it. And I think that's what I'm having a hard time dealing with is like, I'm not ready to standardize what we do because it's so personalized. Team come in and they're like, so Kristen, you type out every one of your patients' notes. Yeah. Like, where's your templates? Where's your dot phrases for everything that you say? And I'm like, well, they're all different patients.
Yeah.
So every one of their plans is different.
Yeah.
And I know when I train people, they're like, well, how long does that take you?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you get faster, but that is our unique factor, right? Like that is what is unique is when you come in. And one of my favorite things, and I'll just like make up names, we'll say Karen and Sally, but they came, that's not their real names. Okay. And one of them was like, Kristen, I don't understand. You told Sally it was okay that she intermittent fasted and you told me that I need to eat breakfast.
Right.
And I was like, well, are the two of you the same person?
Yeah.
Do your thyroid hormones look the same? Do your hormone levels look the same? Is your insulin levels the same?
Right.
So, you know, yes, we make different recommendations depending on the person in front of us.
Yeah.
And it just like that moment, it cracked me up at like, you know, a lot of times in conventional medicine, the provider has a right or wrong way and a yes or a no or a one size fits all protocol.
Yeah.
Here's our weight loss plan. Here's our thyroid plan. Right.
Yeah.
And functional medicine is just not that way. It's incredibly individualized.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That's not the way most doctors, places are doing it. I mean, it's like, again, this is your unique selling proposition, the fact that it's extremely personalized. So yeah, I can understand the challenge of turning that into a franchise right now. Yeah. So well, good on you. I love the fact it's personalized. I think that's why people are coming to you. So okay, that sounds good. I mean, you got several locations. You got a busy few months, I'm sure, ahead of you. And how do you choose between Nashville and DC? Both are very like different and exciting too. So I look forward to hearing how that turns out. So
thank you.
I'd love to learn more about you, Kristen. So like pre-flight, what did life look like for you? You know, how did you get to the point where you decided to kind of launch a company? Like, you know, tell me a little bit about your background before you got there.
So I love being very transparent and honest and everything. So one, I was born an entrepreneur. I mean, kind of talk about my childhood and, you know, I was making money at 10 years old leading dance camps in my parents' backyard. You know, I'm having them drive me to play it against sports. I'm taking all of my savings to buy a used gymnastics mat and a boombox, right? My neighbors, my parents' neighbors, love to pay me $25 so they can run to the grocery store and I'm watching their four-year-old, you know, teaching them how to do somersaults. Yeah. So like I'm born this way. And like, I am, if you guys do the Enneagram, I mentioned I'm a 7, but I'm a 7-8-3. We're all full throttle personalities. Like I have nothing but full throttle, foot to the metal. And I know that about my personality.
Yeah.
But what made me ultimately do my own business, I knew I'd always have a side project that was mine as an entrepreneur. You're constantly coming up with ideas.
Yeah.
I really never thought I'd be in the position of having Stat Wellness to the capacity that I do. But once I found out that I was not hireable, I had no choice but to start my own business. And so I was let go several times due to my female entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
And after it happened, you know, a third time, I just told my husband, like, I'm not getting another job.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happening. Like, I don't want to go through this like emotional roller coaster.
Right.
And I was always incredibly hardworking. Yeah. I was always very loyal. I was very honest. I was very transparent. But, you know, when you're an entrepreneur and you have that spirit in you, it's not uncommon to be viewed as a threat within organizations. Yeah. And ultimately, that's what ended up happening to me a few different times. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm not doing it again. I'm not putting myself in the situation. And that's where I just was going to sign a lease for 5 years for $8,000 and not have a business model and just jump in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm probably making some people on here anxious that maybe don't have my same 7 personality as an entrepreneur. But yeah, that is really what propelled me starting Stat was being let go again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, entrepreneurs in the corporate world don't do very well because we can be not outspoken in a rude way, but we have ideas. And sometimes, those ideas aren't always received as well as we think they should be. It makes it different. Talk to me about the personality. I've done lots of different personality traits. Which ones are you talking about when you say 7, 8?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I love the Enneagram. That is where a lot of my research into personalities has been. And we actually require all of our employees to do the Enneagram. Not that we would not hire them based on it. Yes. It's Enneagram. Okay. And there's a test if anybody's interested in doing it. It's $12. It's the Ready Institute. It's RHETI Institute.com. And it's $12. And it will tell you there's 9 types on the Enneagram. Right. And the reason I love it is we have all 9 types in us. We're just more dominant in some and weaker in other areas. And it was the first thing that I did that made me truly understand myself. And my favorite thing about doing this is I had my husband do it. And it made me understand my husband so much more. So out of the 9 types, my number one is 7. That's the enthusiast. Fine. I get excited about everything. You can sell me on anything. I can tell you a funny story about, you know, walking out of a cable store with a higher package when I went to return it. I'm like a salesperson's best friend.
Yeah.
I see optimism as my first love language. Like I don't see anything negative in any situation. Yeah. I see opportunity where my husband is a 6, which is the loyalist. They see risk in everything before they see opportunity. And out of his 9 types, his 9th personality is a 7, which is me.
Yeah.
So when I bring an idea to him, he's never going to respond the way I will with excitement. Let's do it. Jump. There's no other questions. Like, what else do we need to know? What are you talking about? You have some specific questions about how this is going to work out. Like, it's just going to work out, right? So that's me where he's like, okay, I can get excited, but let's go through my 100 questions.
Yeah.
And then I'll feel once, like, stay calm with me. Let's go through all of these in very big detail. Like, I don't like when anybody says, let's go through this in detail.
Yeah.
Anything that says in detail, I want to run. Like,
That's you're the visionary. So that's difficult to do. Yeah.
Very difficult. Yeah. So, but it made me understand. And then especially seeing the order of it and just like, it made so much sense and it made everything in our relationship click. And I know it sounds so silly that I needed a personality test to have me understand that I can't expect him to get excited without the information.
Yeah.
And he can't expect me to come to him with all of the information because our brains aren't wired that way.
No.
And so having our team do that, our employees do that, it's helped me understand, you know, our peacemakers. Like, I want to check in on them a little more and be like, hey, how are things really going? Because they don't want to create conflict. They want to do a really good job. They want to make sure everybody around them's okay. And so they sometimes don't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Where maybe I have a challenger on the team I'm always going to know what's going on. I don't need to check on that person. Yeah. They're so direct. They're never going to internalize anything. So I highly suggest anybody listening. And on my Little Bi podcast, I have a few. I have an Enneagram expert. And then my husband and I did one of Enneagrams in marriage that you can listen to.
I need to check that out. Okay. That's great. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Wonderful. And for people who don't really know what stat wellness is, I know we've alluded to it in this conversation about it's very personalized, it's medicine, but it's more than that. Like, do you want to kind of just give that, like, if I asked you the question, what problem do you solve and what impact have you made? Maybe that's a great way for you to describe exactly what it is you provide to patients.
There's so many ways of describing it, but what I think is in one sentence is we're really putting the health back in healthcare. And I think in the United States, we're really, really great at sick care. And I always say, like, we're very fortunate. We have some of the best sick care in the world. Like, if you need open heart surgery, if you need brain surgery, if you get diagnosed with cancer, we are pioneers in medicine. And I will forever be grateful for that. I really believe as a country, when it comes to health care, preventative care, you know, looking at optimization, there's a lot of gaps. And so our unique variable is that we kind of fill that gap. We create a space where our patients really feel heard. So like our new patients are 1 hour of face-to-face time. And it's not like a nurse is working you up and they're doing testing and then you're with your provider for 15 minutes. Like we're sitting together for 60 minutes. And as I mentioned earlier, there's no one size fits all protocol. So we treat every single person unique and different. And I think one of the other ways to describe what we do in functional medicine is conventional medicine is always looking to find the right diagnosis, the right treatment, or the right medication for what's going on. For us, our goal is understanding the root cause of what's going on versus just figuring out the right way to treat it. So let's say you come in with insomnia, I can give you supplements, medications to get you sleeping better. But if I don't know why are you having insomnia in the first place, is the goal that you're going to be on these medications or supplements forever?
No.
So we want to understand even the basic things of what does your bedtime routine look like? What does your stress level look like? How is your cortisol? How's your magnesium level? Is this a hormonal issue? When did it start? You know, did it start with perimenopause? So that's just an example. But I think where we really fit in is really putting the health back in and not standardizing. So one thing the listeners may or may not be aware of, but when you go for a physical and they do labs, you're given reference ranges. And as long as your results are within that reference range, normally nobody talks to you about it because you're normal, right?
Yeah.
But reference ranges, if you really think about where they came from, is they put people on a bell curve and they said this 2% is abnormal and this 2% is abnormal. So this 96% of the people tested, this is the range.
Yeah.
Where the problem lies is you take a marker like C-reactive protein, that's a marker of inflammation in the body. When I started practicing, you know, 11 years ago, the range through LabCorp was 0 to 5.
Right.
As Americans have become more and more inflamed, we're normalizing inflammation.
Right.
So now the C-reactive protein range is 0 to 10. So you could be at an 8 and you're normal.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have any elevated C-reactive protein. We want that less than 1. You don't, we don't want to walk around with low grade inflammation. Yeah. And so that's just an example of how we interpret labs different, we spend more time, and our thought process is not just matching the right treatment.
No.
It's why? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Asking lots of questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, that's, it's pretty revolutionary. I mean, I shouldn't ask this question because we don't want to talk about your competition, but is this unique, the way you do it? Is it unique?
It is unique in the fact of like how many there are more certifying bodies teaching this. So my training is through the Institute of Functional Medicine. And then there's another training that I'm working on my fellowship called A4M, which is anti-aging longevity medicine.
Right.
And there are, I would say, last time I checked, and I might be grossly off on this now, but through IFM, there was 1,000 certified providers in the nation. Right. So when you think about how many healthcare workers there are, and there's only 1,000 across the nation. And I think it's hard in the fact that it's a sell, right? Because insurance does not want to pay right now for functional medicine.
Yeah.
Like they're not reimbursing providers for an hour of their time unless they have certain things they're able to document and prove. Yeah. And then even in that situation, they're probably getting reimbursed at 75% of what they're billing. So I think that it's tough, it's complex, but there are definitely people doing functional medicine. And if anyone's looking, like you can go on IFM and find providers nearby, and you can see people. Like maybe someone, I think you said that even though this is an Atlanta podcast, that there's people in different areas that listen to it. So you can definitely check out and find local providers.
Right. Okay. Good. Very exciting. Okay. I think I know the answer to the next question, but I should never assume. So if you were to do this all over again, and the only reason I say that is your energy levels are just so high and I feel the optimism from you. And like you say, that's your number one trait. But let's ask it. If you were to do this all over again, Kristen, would you?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's an easy thing for me to say. And I think it is because I still love, like, every day when I'm having a bad day or something goes wrong with the business, I just think about some of those patients that had such positive things to say, because I think anybody works. I think this is how our mind works. And I kind of brought this up earlier, is like we can kind of dwell on the things that we feel like we didn't do well, or dwell on the one patient that complained about something instead of seeing the big picture. Yeah, and, you know, I have to, as a seven, in order to keep going, I have to remember all of the positive and all of the people's lives we've changed. And that just fuels me. Like, it fuels me so much. So yes, I would do this over and over and over again, because I hear patients' stories and how much we're changing people's lives at Stat Wellness. And it's we, right? It's not me. It's a we.
No, it's we. Yeah. It's you and the team together. That's wonderful. Okay. Yeah, I thought it would be a yes. You know, I just felt that way. But you never know. We have had some people who seemed like it was a yes, and then they're like, I'd do it quite different, which is interesting. So tell me a little bit more about you, Kristen, when you're not doing all the wonderful things that you do for Stat Wellness. And I know it's not like you separate it as a job either. It's like it's part of you. But I know you have two young, beautiful daughters. Love to know their names. But like, what do you do when you're not in the office, so to speak?
And this is something I've really been working on. And I know the word balance is not a good, like, I don't like to use the word balance, because it's really, as an entrepreneur, you're never going to be like home life balance with work. But I've had the best integration, is the term that we like to use. And you guys have probably heard that too. But I have the best work-life integration right now than I've ever had. And I think it's because I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. So my 3-year-old, her name is Emery, and my 2-year-old, her name is Letty, and they are the sweetest, craziest, strong-willed. I just like can't wait to see kind of, I think one of them, if not both of them, is going to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And my husband and I still joke, we like, we cannot wait for the day that they come to us asking for money. Like, I'm looking forward to that day. But anyway, what I do right now, we're really into gardening. And I kept in my mind thinking that I had to wait till we bought this land and I had all these garden beds and, you know, I had this whole like water filtration system. And I realized, no, like I need to start gardening in the backyard I have right now. And this has been so fun for me and the girls. We're growing broccoli and Swiss chard and cabbage and strawberries. And I'm really big into being outside barefoot. So we're getting dirty. We have a compost pile. We're putting the kids are flipping it. We now have our own soil we're using. And it's just so fun to have the sunlight on us and be barefoot, and something that the girls can do. They carry watering cans and they water. But that, you'll either see me in the backyard gardening, or you'll see me working, which I shouldn't, inside of my infrared sauna.
Right.
I'm like a insane infrared sauna. I'm like a snake. I love heat. Okay. I love to like run in the middle of the afternoon, but you'll see me in my infrared sauna just getting a really, really good sweat. Okay. And then my husband and I run a 5K together, not like an organized one, but our goal is to always be able to run a 5K. So once a week we run a 5K. And those are like gardening, infrared sauna, and a weekly 5K and spending time with the girls. Those are my happy places.
Yeah. They sound like good places to be. They're health orientated. They're outside doing things with the family. It sounds perfect. So, you're making me bring back memories of my little ones when they, when we lived in England, we had a lovely garden. We have a lovely garden now, but in England, things kind of grow so well because the amount of rain we get. And they were always there, like helping mummy put the bulbs in. And I used to really enjoy that and getting them as dirty as possible. So, yeah, that sounds good. So, actually, a last question I do want to ask you, and it's a question we added recently to our podcast, is really about the ROI that EO has provided to you. Can you kind of share any of that with us?
Yeah, it's so easy for me to share. I think So the biggest thing is, as an entrepreneur, you're so excited to like be doing your own thing. And then when you actually start doing your own thing, you realize, wait, who understands what's going on? I can't talk to my employees about this. I can't complain. My friends, they definitely don't get it. They don't get what it's like to have to hit payroll. And that when you're trying to give someone a salary, that you're actually paying 20 to 30% more on all of the benefits. And so I remember 6 months after opening Stat, that's about how long it took for the loneliness to really kick in.
Yeah.
And I remember at that point just being, there was a song by Bryce Vine. I'm a huge music person. I really don't know what I would do without music. But he has a song called Los Angeles, and it's a little bit inappropriate, but he says during the chorus, like, I don't know what the F I'm doing here. And I listened to that, like driving into the office, you know, like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And that's when someone told me about EO, and I qualified to be an EOA at that point. Right. So I joined EOA, and the biggest ROI for me was knowing that no matter what the industry was, no matter what you're working on, a lot of the struggles of entrepreneurship are very similar. It was the first time, and I know this was a short period of 6 months before I found EOA, but you didn't feel alone, and you felt like you could go and present things that you were struggling with, and people had experiences to share back of similar things that happened to them. And that connection was huge.
Yeah.
And I love this because you've probably seen over the pandemic more and more research coming out about loneliness is the new smoking.
Yeah.
You know, it was smoking is smoking, right? Then it was like sitting is smoking. And now after the pandemic, we're like, no, loneliness is the new smoking.
I didn't know
so
that.
For yes. So there's some good research on this now post-pandemic. But I think that's, it's just, it is so important for everybody to have their tribe. And that is invaluable to me. I wish that I could go to more of the EO events. I think that's like my biggest, and it's a self thing. But, you know, having a three-year-old, a two-year-old still being very much in the business, I often can't make the learning days on a Tuesday and stuff like that. But my form group, the community, the retreats, the connection, invaluable ROI.
Yeah, invaluable. I would agree with you. Yeah. I love hearing that. Thank you for sharing that. So, Kristen, how can people connect with you if they want to follow up, ask a question, learn more? What's the right way?
So anybody's welcome to email me. My email is Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, at statwellness.com. And then the only kind of social platform that I'm really active on is Instagram. So you could follow me or reach out to me personally at Dr. Dr. Kristen Oja or at statwellness. And then our office is really approachable. You can call us, you can text us, and the phone number is 404-254-5905. And we do free 15s. So if anybody wants to figure out how we can help you, we do free 15-minute visits to talk about it.
That's great. I love the fact you're showing us a telephone number. Wow. That's how easy
That's not my cell phone. That's the office.
That's how easy it is for anyone just to kind of get some support, have someone to listen to you. Figure out how do you get the support from Stat Wellness. And and I'm an advocate, everybody. I'm going through it myself. So
we're so happy to have you.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as a compound pharmacist until 3 months ago. And I don't know. And I thought maybe I'm the only one who doesn't know that. But actually, I've met lots of people who don't know that. So where they actually make up something specifically for you. Did not know that.
And very clean. I think that's the thing. Like a lot of our medications are actually filled with dyes, additives, preservatives. And it's really interesting. You know, like I look at things, there's medications available for children's ADD, ADHD that has red dye in it.
Right.
And there are so many studies that red dye alone can contribute to ADD and ADHD in kids.
Gosh.
And I'm like, this makes no sense. Makes no sense. So we rely on our compounding pharmacists to make things very clean, custom the dosing and the form. Like some people are like, I want a lozenger. Some people are like, I want a cream. We can make anything happen.
But is compound pharmacy, is it fairly new?
No, they've been around for a really long time and they have a very tightly regulated system. So they have a large, very stringent accreditation, and a good pharmacy should get all of their base products from an FDA registered facility. So I think there's this big kind of miseducation or kind of myth that compounding pharmacies maybe aren't as good as a regular pharmacy.
Right.
And it's just not true. They're tightly regulated.
Right.
So we like it a lot better. And you can talk with them all the time and they actually are very, very helpful.
Yeah.
When I've called conventional pharmacies, they're like pulling up their drug manual and just like answering me. And I'm like, okay, I wanted a little bit more of an individualized approach. And that's what compounding pharmacy is.
I agree. No, I was really pleased to find that. So, yes. Anyway, well, look, this has been a wonderful, wonderful time talking to you, Kristen. I can, like I say, the energy is so important. I think that's what most entrepreneurs feel from each other. It's like, if you're not enjoying it, you need to change and do something different. And I actually think this is what's been great about EO for myself, is I have met people who weren't happy and they weren't enjoying it anymore. And they still remained an entrepreneur, but they changed what they did as an entrepreneur. And I do think knowing when it's not making you happy is very important. But you know, I know that you are on a journey for real growth. And I'm really excited to watch you continue to do that, Kristen. So you're obviously a very smart woman, and very, you know, empathetic too. You care for the people that you serve. So it's just a delight to talk to you. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on here, Sarah. You're a great host. I really appreciate it.
You know, again, I love doing this. I think it kind of comes across. So I feel like I should have gone into broadcast, really. Instead, I went into PR, but I love PR too. So there we go. But thank you to our listeners, to our watchers. We know there are many of you who actually turn the video on and watch it. So I'm glad you're doing that. So it's a pleasure to be your host. Pleasure to have Kristen here. And if you heard something great today and you want to share it with your friends, your colleagues, please do. And we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you. And so that wraps up another episode. Thank you for joining. For show notes and other episodes, visit us at takingflight.live. For more information about EO Atlanta, visit eoatlanta.org. Special thanks to the following sponsors.